And joining us on the book club on Perspectives today is New York Times bestselling author Karen White. Her latest novel is The Christmas Spirits on Tratt Street. Karen, thank you so much for being with us here today.
Thank you for having me.
Let's talk a little bit, first of all, about you growing up. Were you always interested in writing?
No, I actually never wanted to be a writer. It was never in the plan. But I've always been a voracious reader. I've always loved books. I've always loved storytelling. I didn't like to write because when I was in school, writing assignments, everything was done by hand. And I found writing very frustrating because my mind would be on, chapter two while my handwriting was still struggling with the second paragraph. And I'd forget all those cool parts of the story that I wanted to tell, and I just found it just very frustrating. And it wasn't really until I learned how to type that I understood that, but by then I already had this, like, writing had this stigma for me where that just wasn't something I wanted to do. So that, when it came to me writing my first book, that was such a fluke. I have no idea how I talked myself into it.
But tell us about your college years. When you went into college, were you already kind of ready to start writing, or is that where you learned how to type?
Oh, yeah, no, I learned how to type in high school, but I was a business major in college, mostly because my dad paid for my college education, and he said I needed to have a business degree because no matter what I did in life, I would need a business degree. I was a really fast typist because I played piano my whole life, I was always the one, and, when we would do business school projects, I would always align myself with the finance and numbers people so they could crunch all the numbers, and I would be the one writing up the report. And then I worked in the business world. But through all of this, huge reader, continued to read, continued to love books and stories. And it really wasn't until I was a mother with two babies at home that I had a book hangover. I'd read Dinah Gabaldon's Outlander series, and I literally could not pick up another book to read because I was still so immersed in her story. And I just remembered my teachers back in elementary school and middle school saying, Karen, you should be a writer, you should be a writer. And so I thought, I put my kids down for their naps, and I was just like, I had nothing to lose, right? I was already, it wasn't like I was at a job. I was at a job as a stay-at-home mom, but it wasn't like, anybody was depending on my salary at that point. And I just sat down and started to write, and that turned out to be my my first novel.
Now, when you just told us that you read Dinah Gabaldon's The Outlanders, that's a big book. Tell us, perhaps our listeners would like to be interested in, what did you read as a child? What interested you as a teenager, preteen?
Oh my gosh. So I got started on the Nancy Drew series. That, The Secret of the Old Clock was the first book I remember reading. And then, the Little House in the Big Woods series. Oh my gosh. I love those. And then I would go, the librarian at my elementary school knew me and would always recommend great books that I would read, none that are still in print anymore. But when I was in seventh grade, we moved to London, and I had to walk to the tube station. And there was a bookstore that I would pass, and I would always, when I was done with one book, I'd pick up another. And that's when I discovered the big sagas of the 80s, the Susan Howitz and the Jeffrey Archer and John Jakes, and always these big historical, they weighed like 10 pounds. Those were my favorite kinds of books because I totally immersed in another life and another world. And, so when Outlander came up, of course, came out, I was so prime for it because those books kind of went out of style for a while, and I really missed them. I would read Judith Krantz, all the big romances back then, Rosemary Rogers, all of those. So, and then, of course, all the classics, I had to read for school, of course, but, To Kill a Mockingbird, I took Southern Fiction and Look Homeward Angel and just so many books that just, I still remember how I felt while I read them. So I've never been a person to stick to one genre, I'll even do, you know, the Robin Cook, remember Coma, Stephen King. I adore Stephen King. He's such an amazing writer and scares the poop out of me, seriously. So I'm just a voracious reader of pretty much anything. You put a book in front of me and I will read it.
You just mentioned one of my favorites, Robin Cook, and he just has a new one based on all this ancestry DNA stuff that's going on right now.
What? Oh, my gosh. I've got to get that.
It's,
wow.
It's called Genesis.
And he's still alive? He must be like 100.
Yes, yes, he is. It's called Genesis.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, okay, thank you. I'm definitely getting that.
You're welcome. You know, it's interesting, as you told me about what you read growing up, it seems like most of the authors I've asked this question, they all say Nancy Drew. You know, all these other books that we read as children, Beverly Cleary, Ramona, all that stuff. Yeah,
yes.
And so that's what opened up the door for all of us.
Yeah, I love it. You know, and that's, you know, my hat's off to all those children's authors who just really, you know, and now J.K. Rowling, and, you know, who really, you know, got children into reading, children who maybe might not have been big readers if it hadn't been for their books, you know, and now they're into adulthood and they're readers now.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen White. Karen's latest book is The Christmas Spirits on Trad Street. We're going to talk a little bit about The Christmas Spirits on Trad Street, but then we'll go back and talk a little bit more about how you develop these novels and these series and all that stuff. But this is a perfect time of the year, the holidays, and the problem here, I think, is that as most of us, when we're trying to get up those decorations and get everything ready for Christmas, something inevitably comes up. But what happens at this house is something completely different. Now, I don't want to give anything away.
Yes, well, I think that the title kind of clues you in that there are spirits not necessarily of the jolly kind. So the whole series is about, you know, the main character sees dead people, and each book, you know, and including this one, there is a mystery that needs to be solved, and because of unfinished business of the dearly departed.
Are we allowed to say anything about what they're protecting?
I think so, because that's, you know, it's, you can't say how they find it or if they find it, but you can certainly say what. which is a supposed, and that's why I love writing fiction, because I take a real thing, the American Revolution, the Marquis de Lafayette, and his connection to the King of France, and how the King of France sent the Marquis with, you know, soldiers and whatever to support the American cause. So I add that the King of France sent a treasure with the Marquis to pay for Patriot spies. And, you know, it may or may not be true. Nobody's ever seen it. Nobody knows what might have happened to it. And that is something that could, you know, it could have been true. It could be real. And that is what they're looking for in the book, this supposed treasure that was given to the Marquis de Lafayette that may or may not be hidden at this plantation home that is owned by the main character, Melanie Trenum.
As you just told us about, you know, the American Revolution, what was going on back then and what may be going on at this home, you are a member of the American Daughters of the American Revolution.
The Daughters of the American Revolution.
Yes, thank you.
The
thank
DAR.
You. Tell us a little bit about that and how you got involved in all that.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. It was my daughter. So my daughter has a graduate degree in historic preservation. We're both big into history and old houses. And She lives and works in Washington, D.C., and one of her best friends is very active in her DAR chapter there. And Megan, my daughter, was like, Mom, you know, Dad's family has been in the U.S. forever. You know, do you know anything about our ancestry? And I was like, no, because I know my brothers, and that scares me. You know, I don't want to look and see where they came from. I said, you know, because I love doing that kind of research. I just don't have time for it. And so I made a deal with her. I said, if you do all the paperwork, I will fund it. So she did. And, oh, my gosh, the stuff that she found, I eventually want to, you know, get right. She has it all written down, but I want it for myself. But the stuff that she discovered, it was just fascinating. And at one point when we were in Florida, we did go to an archives building there and look up stuff. And I could just spend days, you know, in one of those rooms looking at that stuff and going on the computer. But obviously I have deadlines, but And so that's how that started. And she found that we had ancestors in North Carolina and South Carolina, you know, in the 1700s, and including Charleston, you know, in the historic district, which was very cool for me because I've been writing about that, you know, forever.
So did you decide, based on what your daughter found, to include in this book?
You know, it was kind of happened at the same time. So, you know, I knew it was going to be a Christmas book, and every book has, you know, an historic component to it. And this is the sixth book. You know, I've done Civil War. I've done, you know, the earthquake. I've done the fire. I've done so many different historic eras in Charleston because Charleston has witnessed a lot, but I hadn't done the American Revolution. So I thought, okay, you know, and then at the same time, my daughter discovering this, it was just sort of serendipitous and happened at the same time, but there was no cause or effect. It was just something I had already decided I was going to do.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen White. Karen's latest book is The Christmas Spirits on Trad Street. Tell us a little bit about your protagonist, Melanie.
Oh, Melanie's a fun character.
Yes, she is.
In the first book, when we meet her, we know that she is one thing. She is pretty much alone in the world. She's estranged from both her parents, and you understand why as you continue to read. But she is a very successful realtor specializing in historic real estate in Charleston, even though she hates old houses. And the reason why she hates old houses is because old houses always seem to have a dearly departed spirit who wants her help in solving mysteries because she happens to have, she doesn't call it a gift, she calls it a curse, she has the ability to communicate with dead people. So to block out these people, these spirits, she ends up singing ABBA songs very loudly, and that will sometimes make them go away, but not always. She's also very OCD, which lends itself to some of the humorous parts of the book. And also in the first book, she meets Jack Trenham, who is pretty much her sidekick through the entire series, as is the restoration of the house on Trad Street, which she inherits in the first book. But when she inherits the house in the first book, Jack Trenham is a best-selling author of true crime mysteries, and he's researching the disappearance of a woman who lived in Melanie's house in the 1920s, and that's how they meet. And so sort of, I call this series My Sixth Sense Meets National Treasure Meets Moonlighting, because that's how these two characters, go back and forth and throughout the entire series. So that's the fun component of it.
I'm glad you mentioned Jack being a New York Times best-selling author, because this is something that you are, and so our listeners might wonder, okay, I wonder if Karen put a little bit about what she goes through in Jack.
A little bit. You know, the whole deadline thing and the whole, you know, you want to focus on your writing, but you've got, you know, the business side to also contend with, and, and professional jealousy and all that stuff is in this. But what I really felt bad for Jack, because I plumbed all my author friends for, like, their worst nightmare stories, and then I made them happen to Jack. So he is basically orphaned by both his agent and his editor, which is really, you know, the most fatal thing to happen to a writer's career. And I do this to Jack because he needs to be brought low for plot reasons. and I felt really, really bad because I know what that must be like. And so that's when being a writer sort of helped to create his plot line anyway.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen White. Karen's latest book is The Christmas Spirits on Trad Street. Excuse me. You mentioned earlier about growing up, you being a housewife and taking care of your two children. Melanie has twins.
Mm-hmm. Because, you know, when I figured out that she was going to have children, so she's so OCD and so, you know, organized and, you know, everything's on a spreadsheet. You know, an author's job is to really throw their characters in, you know, in the most difficult situations. So I thought, okay, what could be the worst thing to happen to a real OCD super controlling mom? Well, give her twins. So that's why I gave her twins. And I love her as a mother. I think she's in a twins and a teenager at the same time, because she's also a stepmother. And I just love seeing her as a mother, you know, because she struggles with it, but she loves her children. And you can see her struggle with it. You know, there's a whole scene in this book where she's trying to get everybody to dress the way she wants them to dress for the Christmas card photo. And it's a disaster. You know, even the poor dogs don't want to be dressed up. And Melanie is like, but I want them to be. And she just doesn't understand that she can't control everybody all the time anymore.
Ah, I've been through that chapter in the book.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Tell us a little bit about, you know, the development of Melanie, as you just mentioned. She's OCD. She has three children, a teenager and the twins. Some of the reviews that I've read from readers who had looked at previous books, read previous books, they complained that they would get a little bit frustrated with Melanie and obviously what you just talked about, OCD. Mm-hmm. And someone said, I think that Melanie just needs to grow up. And I guess that sounds like a mom talking to a child. You know, we've had that when our mothers or somebody else tells us, you need to grow up or whatever.
Right.
And because if somebody is OCD or somebody is a planner and somebody else is like, whatever, it really can frustrate the other person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, what I'd like to tell these readers, you know, and I think, I don't know, there's, when I create a character, I want them to be flawed, but when they're flawed, I give them a reason. And, you know, Melanie, so she, and you find this out in the first book, so she believes herself to have been abandoned by her mother at age six, okay, which, imagine, your mother leaving you at age six, and then she's been left to be raised by her alcoholic father, who she has to parent as a young child. So that was her childhood. And to compensate for a childhood that was out of her control, she became uber-controlling. You can't tell a person overnight, get over it. That's not in their genetic makeup anymore. She knows it's a flaw, and she does do better. Each book, she does better. But, you know, get over it, grow up, I mean, that's not realistic. Imagine somebody, you know, in real life, you know, you see somebody, you know, like a drug addict will stop using drugs. Okay, I know that's the right thing for me, but it's the same kind of mental issue. It's not just an overnight thing where you make the decision and you're better the next day.
Very well put. And as you mentioned before, in your characters, you try and make them as humanly as possible. And
right.
This is something that everybody, you know, goes through in one way or another. Sometimes when someone gets depressed, we get told, snap out of it. And you can't
snap
do that.
Well, and that's not depression. Anybody who knows anything.
Right.
And if I did have Melanie get better overnight, I would get, you know, the same kind, you know, people, other people would be commenting, nobody gets over these things overnight.
That's
you know?
True.
There's just, so I just have to write it as realistically as possible. And I know things, and I don't want to say it's a mental illness, but it's definitely a mental issue that Melanie has. And she is working on it, and she knows it's a problem. And she is working on it, and she's relying on family to help her. So hopefully by the next book, she will figure it out. And will be enough time that she can relax a bit and let family love her and take care of her the way that they want to.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen White. Karen's latest book is The Night. Christmas. Yes. The Christmas Spirits on Trad Street. I mentioned at the beginning of the interview that I want to talk to you a little bit about the article that I read about you talking about your visits down south and what inspired you, and the way you wrote that, or I'm not sure who wrote it, but the answers you gave them was just incredible. I mean, the way you described the frogs, the steam, the heat, the humidity. And you used to go down there to visit your maternal grandparents, is that correct?
That's correct.
Tell us.
So both my parents are from Mississippi, southern Mississippi. My mother's from the Delta. I mean, you're from Texas, so you understand what heat and humidity is all about. But there's nothing quite like the heat and humidity in the Mississippi Delta. They actually call it the most southern place on Earth for a reason. There's just something so special about that area. That's where the blues were born. That's where B.B. King is from, same hometown as my mother, and that's where the Blues Museum is. There's just something about the history, the landscape, the river itself that, you know, every time it floods, it's you know, humans have tried to claim that rich alluvial soil for, you know, centuries, and yet the river always tries to reclaim it. You know, so people act, talk, and feel differently down there. There's just something really magical about it. And plus, I loved my grandmother. I remember, and my mom was the only one who moved away. So all of, you know, her four sisters and her brother were there, her mother, grandparents, you know, and I would go down to visit wherever we were living in the world. And, you know, my mother and all the extended female members of her family would crowd around that laminate kitchen table and do their Southern girl talk, you know, and I would just sort of hide under the kitchen table, and they'd forget about me and they'd do their talk. And I just, you know, all night long, just sit and listen to them. And, you know, that those are the voices that I hear. And, you know, the tree frogs outside and the neighbor coming by with the, you know, the sun-ripened tomatoes. And it was, you know, me going downtown to the drugstore and the, you know, the drugstore owner saying, oh, you're Catherine Ann's girl, and, you know, give me a free Coca-Cola. It was just, you know, such a different world from, you know, where, you know, I grew up in London because of my dad's job. And just to go to this beautiful southern town that my mother couldn't wait to leave, you know, was just a real experience for me and really sort of fed my writer's soul, even though at the time, I didn't know or didn't plan to be a writer.
And as far as your roots now, you live in Georgia, correct?
That is correct.
And some people might say, well, it's just as hot in Georgia, and that's the hometown of Coca-Cola.
Oh, no, no. No. It's totally different.
A comedian that I watched on television one time said the reason people have that southern drawl is because it's so hot.
Yes, I totally agree. It's exhausting to speak quickly when it's, and again, it really isn't the heat. There is something about, oh my gosh, the humidity. It gets humid here in Atlanta, no lies, but if you go to the low country of South Carolina, to Florida, to, you know, New Orleans, Savannah, you know, there's something, the heat and humidity in August. You go to Charleston in August and then come up to Atlanta in August and you can tell the difference. It's hot, hotter than Hades for sure in both places, but it's worse in Charleston.
We're visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen White. Karen is the author of the book, The Christmas Spirits on Trad Street. We're just about out of time here, Karen, but if you wouldn't mind telling us, when you wrote this book, is there anything that you discovered that perhaps, I mean, not when you wrote this book, pardon me, when your daughter was doing all this research for you, for the book and everything else, is there anything that you found that was like, wow, I never knew that, that perhaps a lot of Americans don't know? An interesting find.
You know what? No, 'cause she did, you know, very family specific. But I think it just sort of opened my eyes to how major that period, the Revolutionary War period, was in Charleston's history. A lot of people don't equate Charleston with the Revolution. They think Civil War. But it was huge. I mean, they had the Siege of Charleston. You know, they had major battles surrounding Charleston. A lot of people don't even realize that South Carolina was one of the, you know, original 13 colonies, much less was a major player during the Revolutionary War. You know, the Swamp Fox, that's, you know, Francis Marion was a major Revolutionary War player. So those weren't necessarily things that she discovered that I used in the book, but she did open my eyes to what just a huge time period it was for the city.
Thank you very much, Karen. Is there a website that people can go to find out more about not just this book, but your other books?
Yes. It's Karen-White.com, and on the homepage, on the top right corner, are links to all of my social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and those are at Karen White Write, W-R-I-T-E.
Karen, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And just before I forget, if your daughter's interested in historical artifacts, you might want to talk to Steve Barry, because he's very much into that, the author.
Yes, he is. Yes, thank you.
Okay. Have a Merry Christmas.
And you too. Bye-bye.
We've been visiting with New York Times bestselling author Karen White. Karen's latest novel is The Christmas Spirits on Trad Street. The book club on Perspectives is taped and produced at the KTEP Studios, University of Texas at El Paso Communication Building. Our thanks to our engineer, Sam Cassiano. We had help from Alejandra Zamora and Chris Williams. Our producer is Alejandra Dominguez. You've been tuned to Perspectives. I'm Louis Sainz.